How did you find out that your wife was sick?
So started out in a really mellow way. You know, she was like, woke up one day, my shoulder hurts. I'm like, okay, you held the baby wrong, or who the hell knows what happened? You know, it's like no big deal, right? Like all of us have those things happen all the time and nothing comes out of it. And then, so like 1 month goes by and it's still there. That's interesting, but nothing big, right? And then it started, now my leg on the same side is hurting and acting up a little weird. And it's like, okay, that's different from I pull a tendon. That's some more like a neurological thing. So that's a different kind of issue. And symptoms got worse at a speed that was pretty insane. It was super, like she went from being in peak physical shape, strong, healthy, athletic, to crashing really fast. Like in a span of 3 months, she was could hardly walk. She was, I was literally carrying her up and down the stairs because she was like in such a frail physical condition. And at the time, because everything happened so quickly, they didn't really, you know, initially they thought it was a particularly bad onset of multiple sclerosis, which sucks, but of course is heaven compared to brain tumor, you know. So, you know, initially we thought, okay, this is terrible, but maybe we'll figure it out. And there's, you know, multiple sclerosis, people live with it, and there's ways, things you can do about it, and it's fine, right? Not good, not ideal, but okay, there's something to be done with it. And things kept getting so much worse so quickly that eventually, you know, they figured out, oops, not multiple sclerosis, brain tumor, super aggressive, fast growing, advanced stage, and in a place where it cannot be operated. So I was like, okay, you know. And their thing was like, okay, we can do this, that, and the other to help you last, you know, maybe you can last a year or two. And he was like, no, thanks. Yeah. You know, for this quality of life, it sucks. You are gonna be, as your, like, our daughter at the time, I was about a year and a half old, is like, for what? So that she can become progressively more aware of this horrendous stuff happening around her? I was like, so she's like, no, I'm not doing anything. And she was like, nope, I'm checking out. That's it. And so to me, like, one thing that it left me with is a heavy sense of hypochondria. And a heavy sense, because, you know, you see somebody so healthy go where everything turns into a nightmare so quickly. So that then the next time you have a cough, you're like, oh my God, this is the beginning of the end, you know? And of course, it's totally irrational, except that you have seen it happen just like that. So, you know, 99.9% of chances is not going to be anything like that. It's a stupid flu, or it's a cough, or it's whatever, or it's nothing, right? But then there's the one time when it isn't. And so it has been really hard for me to make the mental switch to not feel that way, you know, to, because of course that's so apocalyptic that like my brain has always been around like what she must have felt, you know, when you know you're not going to see your kid ever again, when you know that you're, so, you know, it's heavy stuff. Yeah. It's really heavy stuff.
It is. And your wife, she decided to stay at home, right?
Yeah, she was like.
And how was the last couple of weeks together?
I mean, she was in an odd kind of way. She was in a mostly really good frame of mind. She was way more relaxed than she had ever been. She was way kinder than she had ever been. She was, that side of her that was the good side was there way most of the time.
Yeah.
In a way that was amazing to watch. She had their moments of, you know, especially at night, in the middle of the night, where your rationality kind of declines a little bit and she wasn't sleeping much, where you would be like more fear-driven and panicky. But then as soon as that would subside, then she would go back to this stage that was really very blissful in some way.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that, that's the thing though, that we forget that is, happens a lot, you know, happens. I would venture to say that, I mean, if you live long enough, everybody experiences horrible things. But even if you don't live long enough, like take a room with 100 people, how many of them have experienced something fairly horrendous? I would bet that that number is pretty high. You know, whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it is some kind of trauma in their childhood, whether it is, you know, it can show up in many forms, but some really heavy scarring trauma I think is way more common than sometimes we think.
Yeah.